Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's have a big round of applause for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this new year. How exciting. Isn't it awesome to have a new year? Here's what the Bible says. Forget the past. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you believe God's going to do some new things this year in your life? He's going to do some new things in this church. Going to do some new things in Europe and around the world. This is going to be a tremendous year for us. This is going to be a year of going and growing. And we're going to go to the ends of the earth this year. Literally, we're going to be going all over the place and lots of opportunities for you. And we want to share some of those opportunities just now. I don't think it's a mistake that we have the amazing, the glorious Ruth Ruddick speaking this morning. Ruth and Andrew are going back to the Philippines tomorrow. And they've been here for 6 months. Had another little baby taken after their parents, and they're going back to serve the Lord over there in the Philippines. Ruth's going to be speaking this morning because the last Sunday before they go, and I don't believe in coincidences, do you? I believe in the sovereignty of God. There's no accidents. I don't think it's an accident on the first Sunday of 2016 for us to have missionaries speaking, because it's a year of going this year. It is. And we're going to be doing some awesome things together and going awesome places together. So as Ruth speaks, be asking the Holy Spirit to stir up your heart, to catch a vision, to get going and moving. The great thing is Jesus doesn't wait till we're totally sorted before he sends us, does he? He sends us as we are, then works with us to change us. And so I'm the first of these pastors are going to come and share different areas of the church that are going to be exciting for this year and going to be doing exciting things. I think I got the most exciting things to share because I decided who shared what. So anyway, I wanted to share this with you, that this year we are going to run a Route 61, a Rada 61 conference in Tallinn in Estonia, and we're very, very excited about it. We know it's God. We took a whole weekend out just to pray and make sure it was God. And spent a bit of money, and me and Allery and Carl and Lowry went to Tallinn a few weeks ago. And we were praying and asking the Lord to speak to us. And he did speak to us. He spoke to me a couple of different ways. One was I had a vision. I saw an opportunity, a window for us, an opportunity for us to do something that was going to be very significant spiritually in Estonia. I saw a picture of that dragon off the film, The Hobbit, the second one, where there's a little space in his armor. And in that little space, in that little opportunity, they managed to bring this dragon down with this big black arrow. And I had the vision of that in the car as I was sort of, you know, prayerfully sleeping. And then I had a very clear scripture, Psalm, that spoke to me. They gave me personal faith for it. You need personal faith for these things, don't you? If you're going to spend thousands and thousands of pounds and ask the whole church to come on holiday, you better be right. So you need personal faith to be able to sell it. You got to know it's God. And I do. We do. And we're going to see some awesome things happen in people's lives. And then we've got this phenomenal venue right in the heart of Tallinn City. Absolutely amazing venue that can seat 600 people. We want to fill it. We want to fill it. We believe God gives us a strategy to do that. So it's going to be a phenomenal year. There's going to be some meetings to show you how you can come and be part of it, be totally part of it. We need to start to pray. The prayer meetings, we need to start to pray to see this happen. We pray and then things happen. We pray and then they happen. And so it's going to be, are you excited? It's going to be a phenomenal year. That's Route 61 Conference. And you can go there, you can have a phenomenal holiday. Tallinn is one of the Europe's main holiday destinations. It's a beautiful city. Many of you have been already. It's phenomenal weather in the summer. And we were checking that side of it out as well. It had to work for two ways. It had to work for conference, but it had to work for families as well. And I was utterly convinced by all the awesome things they showed me. The zoos and everything and the beaches, that we can do it and it can be awesome. So I want you to pray about it. You might be sat there thinking, I've never been abroad. Well, get a passport. It's 2016. Come on. You might be sat there thinking, I'm scared to fly. David never flown because he was frightened of flying, really frightened of flying. It's amazing what a few sleeping tablets and a few Southern Comforts can do. No, but he got there and he drummed and it was phenomenal. And you know, whatever excuses you might have, you might say, oh, I've already got my holidays booked. Let God get hold of your diary. Let God have your year and see what he will do. The best holidays I've ever had in my life of when I've been serving God. When I put God first and thought, well, I'll serve God and see what happens. Phenomenal. God's the best holiday maker. He invented them. Holidays. Straight from the Bible. No other culture had holidays. Look at me, I'm preaching now. I've got to get off. And then the second thing, 5 minutes he's telling me, and I've already had five. And the second thing I want to tell you about that is also very exciting is we're going to run a revival conference here in Teesside. Thank you, Andrew. And in September. We're going to do it in September because there's so much traveling going on before the summer. But we're going to do it in September. And one of the things we really wanted to do was to get this guy to come and speak. And he has said, yes. So he's coming, Aaron Cheng, who oversees literally thousands of underground churches in China. Phenomenal, anointed speaker and with a massive gift of healing. And he also, he's totally connected to Estonia as well. He was part of the Tallinn Revival for 10 years. And that's where he was trained. During the Tallinn Revival, he worked with Pastor Rain. So it's just a phenomenal connection. Lowry and Becca met him. He came to their dad's house when he was visiting Tallinn there. And they told him a bit about our church. He said, forget these thousands of Chinese churches. I've got to come to Amazing Grace. Anyway, and he was actually excited and interested by what God was doing with us and said, I'd love to come. And obviously, you've got to bring him from Taiwan, which is where he lives. But the great thing is, in September, he's actually speaking in a Bible college in Wales. So he is coming to do a full weekend revival conference for us. Is that exciting? Yeah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. And that's just one thing. Here comes something else from someone who's even better looking but wears the same shirts.
Morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Hands up if you've done Route 61. Hands up if you've done it more than once. Hands up if you've never done it before. Wow, not many. That's impressive. So obviously we'll be starting Route 61 again in the UK here, the Route 61 course. And there's been a few changes to it, which I just want to mention quickly so you know exactly what you sign up for, so that you don't sign up for something and think, this isn't what I signed up for. For starters, we've changed it from 12 weeks down to 8, because we just felt that it was a bit too long. So all the rubbish weeks we've taken out. No, I'm just kidding. It's partly true. No. We've picked the best weeks, the weeks that we feel the Holy Spirit wants us to focus on. And we've just condensed it down to 8 weeks to make it more manageable for people and more manageable for people who want to commit to it and the small group leaders and all the rest. But above all this, we just think it's the right thing to do by God. We really believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to us about this through the last few courses and seeing what's working and what isn't working and what's all right and what could be better. I think we've run about 10 now. Ish, and you know, you learn, don't you, as you do them, and that's what we've been doing. We've been learning through each one, making it better, trying to make it better prayerfully with the help of God, making it better, tweaking it. And one of the things is it's going to be 8 weeks. And the other thing is, the other change is that we're going to have a weekend away in the middle of the course. So the last weekend of February, the entire course is going to go away. Yay! Only to Whitby, so don't worry too much. We're going to go to Whitby. Yeah! And I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Sneaton Castle. Cool. A couple of people have heard of Sneaton Castle. So we're going to take the whole course to Sneaton Castle for the weekend, last weekend of February. We're going to stay over the Friday night, have a session on Friday evening, sessions all day Saturday. And, you know, some of the things that we can't cover in the 8 weeks, we'll cover on the weekend. Plus extra stuff as well, plus more things. We want to look at Steps to Freedom, the Neil Anderson bondage breaker kind of stuff, freedom in the mind, and many other things as well, as well as just eating together and having fellowship together and just getting to know one another much more. So if you've done Route 61 before, if you've done it a few times, can I encourage you prayerfully to sign up for it again? And if you've never done it before, seriously, prayerfully consider signing up for this, especially if you're part of this church and you want to become part of Amazing Grace and see yourself as a member here, then please, please sign up for it. You will be mightily blessed. The entire course is about you receiving everything that Jesus has for you. I know many of you know this, but some may not. It's about you receiving everything that Jesus died for. You know, when he came, he said, I've came to give you life, life in its abundance, life in colour. He came to give us life to the full. Now, I don't know how many of us sat here this morning feel like that all the time. You know, many Christians, truthfully, receive a bit often of Jesus' ministry, either like you'll get a revelation of the gospel and you'll want to be an evangelist and you want to tell everyone about Jesus and want to get saved, want to see people saved, see people saved, see people saved. But maybe that not many people listen because they've just got so many issues in their heart that they seem full of themselves or whatever. I'm sure you don't know anybody that like that though. Or maybe someone has a massive revelation of grace but just no concept of who God is their dad, as Ian was speaking on. So we still want to look at the six things what Jesus spoke about in Isaiah 61. He's come to, the Spirit of the Lord is on him. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is on us. We want to still talk about the Holy Spirit. And we want everyone to be massively filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, properly baptized in the Holy Spirit. Be full of God, full of fire, full of him, full of faith, full of Jesus. We want a revelation of who God is as our dad. You know, Jesus used the word Abba, which means daddy. Not dad, not father, not Almighty God. He is all those things, but he also used daddy. I wonder if you can approach God that way, whether you know God is your daddy. Maybe you hear the word father or dad, daddy, and it resonates with who your earthly father was, and you feel some sort of pain there or some, I can't call God my dad. And we want you to experience that. We want you to meet your father. No matter what your relationship was like with your earthly father, God wants you to meet him. We want to talk about the cross and what Jesus died for on the cross, not just the salvation of our souls, which is most important, but everything we get for life comes from the cross. We go to Calvary for our healing, for our sanctification, to be refreshed, to be filled with love. And we want you to experience everything that Jesus died for on the cross. We want to allow the Holy Spirit and allow the Father to search our hearts to see if there's anything in us that he wants to touch and change and heal. Often this means, you know, he'll remind us of something from the past, some area of hurt or pain, and he'll want us to forgive somebody from our heart, and it'll enable us to be released from that person, to be released and move on with God, to be touched in our heart, and to be massively set free from things that we might not even realize right now we're in bondage to. I've done Route 61, I've done every one, but I still don't claim to have this all sorted, and I need more of God. I don't know about you. I need much more revelation of who he is. We want to talk about the body and about physical healing, about surrender, really, and stepping across into and saying to God prophetically by stepping across a line, you know, God, everything I am, everything in this vessel, my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, my family, my relationships, my friends, everything is yours. Let's do it your way and surrender our own will and our own desires and our bodies to God and just let him have his way. And there's absolutely massive liberation in that. When you live a surrendered life, you can be, oh, it's just so free from the cares and the pattern of this world that we can be bound to very, very easily. But if we just have that faith to step out and just take some actions in our life, we can be set free from the ways and the patterns of this world and be massively liberated. And, you know, God will smash any fear away from you and away from me and enable us to walk on, as well as freedom in the mind, which was what I was talking about, the Neil Anderson stuff, and just a revelation of grace as well. So if you'd like to sign up for Route 61, please prayerfully consider this, especially if anything in particular has spoken to you there. And to do that, please see my wife, Esther, at the end. Thanks.
Okay, so that's Route 61, which is a firmly established program that we run as a church. And when we set the church up, we believe that God gave us two or three very clear visions. One was for the lost. We want to see as many people saved as we possibly can. One is that for those people that are saved, we want you to be healed, put back together again, and in relationship with God your Father. And then the third thing is we want you to run. So A61, which stands for Advanced 61, you could call it Athletic 61 if you want, is about you running. most of us come from churches where there's a bottleneck at the top. And the bottleneck at the top is because all the leaders do absolutely everything and nobody else does anything else. That's why churches stay small and that's why you don't grow. And A61 is all about releasing people to their full potential, their absolute full potential. And we've had a go at some of that over the last few years. And I'll be honest with you, some of it's been great. Some of it hasn't quite worked. So we're revamping A61. We feel led by the Holy Spirit to change it. And as of this January, we're actually changing A61 and the dynamic of it. We're going to focus on two key areas because there are three types of people in this church. First of all, there are people that have just done Route 61. So you're fresh off the baking tray, all right? We want you to either do Route 61 again, which is fantastic, and or move on to A61. Because A61 is where we want you to experience more. There's a second group of people who've just finished A61. So you've done Route and you've done A. We want you to come back again and be part of our A61 program. And then there's a third group of people. That's those of you who've been here for thousands of years. All right, those of you who've been here forever have done everything, and maybe you're not doing anything just now. Well, we want to bring you in as well. And there's two things that we're going to do. We're going to focus on two areas of development. The first is very much the spiritual development of each of us. And the second area is about coping with life. Because do you know what? You can be as prophetic as you like, and you can have the healing hands of Jesus all you like. But life has its challenges, and we all need to get through them. And so in January, we're going to run one module for 4 weeks on the Holy Spirit, A61 style, very practical. And I'm inviting all of you to come and do it, whether you've only just finished Route, or whether you've only just come off A61, or whether you've been on that course several times. Come and do a Holy Spirit module with us again. Because at the end of that module, in February, we're going to have one-to-one conversations with all of you. We're going to sit down with every person in this church that's gone through Route 61, and we're going to work some stuff out with you that looks at two things. Number one, what else do you want help with? From a spiritual perspective, you might say, do you know what? I've always wanted to move in the prophetic. Fantastic. Chris Dodsworth moves in the prophetic. And Chris Dodsworth's going to run a module on how to hear God's voice and move in the prophetic. Very much in like a house group type setting. So a small group setting. We're not going to do it. Chris Dodsworth's going to do it. Why? Because that releases the bottleneck at the top. It improves him. It challenges him. And it releases you all. So we want people moving in the prophetic, yeah? Chris is going to do some stuff on that. There's other stuff as well, moving in other spiritual giftings. We want to do lots of work on that. But then what about what you feel called to do from God? And we want to talk to you about what you feel called to. So I'm already having conversations with people that are saying to me, I've been in this church a while now. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants me to do a module on this. So no pressure, Di. But Di has been through Route 61 and A61, and God did some amazing things with her, both here and before she came here, actually. And Di is going to run a module for women on heart healing. All right? That's good for Di, because it stretches her. It puts her on in the spotlight, even more than it is right now. But it's good for those of you that need to go into it as well. We want to expand what we do. And A61 moving forward is about identifying key things that you want and need. And then there's practical stuff as well. I think it's a crying shame to see somebody who moves fantastically in the Holy Spirit and their home life's a nightmare. Maybe they've got great giftings and foresight, but the kids are off the tracks. We're going to do stuff on parenting. Maybe you've got a fantastic worship ministry and you're bankrupt or you're skint. Well, we're going to do some practical stuff on managing money, because do you know what? that's a part of life that people need to be helped out with. So do you see the two comparisons? We're going to do some really spiritual things, like all of the giftings that we have and what you might feel called to. And we're going to do some very practical things. And some of the things that get done in this church, you're going to do them. We want you to tell us what you feel called to do. So, for example, Franco and Jill, who look like they've had a really good Christmas and New Year, they're going to run a module for brand new Christians. It's a 3-month module that they're going to take leadership of and run because they feel called to do it. But what do you feel called to do? We want to have that conversation. And so at the end of this 1-month module in January, we're going to sit down with you and talk to you about what you want to do and what else you want us to help you with. Does that make sense? So if you've never, if you've done Route 61, come and do A61. If you've done A61 before, come and do this module again because we want to sit down with you at the end of it. And if you've done Route 61 50 times and A61 10 times, it doesn't matter. Come and do it again because at the end of it, we want to sit down with you and have a one-to-one conversation that says, what do you feel called to do and where else can we help you? All right.
Happy New Year. Do you like my new jumper? It's like being inside a sesame seed bun. Okay, on the 20th of January, we're starting an Alpha course. And for the last 20 years, I've had the privilege of being involved in Alphas in some way, shape or form. Initially, just sort of helping out and watching Martin run courses. But I've been involved in Alpha courses in prisons, in universities, in schools, in different church settings and churches together settings and different things. And here's the truth about Alpha. It doesn't matter how many people you get on an Alpha course. People always get saved. I've never been on an Alpha course where someone didn't get saved. People always get saved. Who in here got saved on an Alpha course? There's a few. Okay. Okay, so we're going to run Alpha in starting on January the 20th. And I want to encourage you to pray about who to invite. And it's really important that we listen to God. And during the worship, God spoke to me. I saw a little picture of, in beautiful writing, being written out, 2016. And underneath, written, very good. 2016 is going to be very good. And at first I thought, is that just for the church? Is that just for me? Oh, I'm sharing about Alpha this morning. Maybe Alpha's going to be very good. And I was thinking, how is that going to work? And you probably didn't see little Evangeline down here. How old's Evangeline now? Liberty, yeah. One. She's all the way to one now. You probably didn't see, she was stood down here, dummying, hand up, during the worship. Yeah, bless you. Hey, little. She's gorgeous. That is the way to evangelize. It's not all, what do I say? I'm an evangelist. I'm going to speak to this person. I'm going to get another notch on my Bible and witness to this person. It's first and foremost, you go to God and listen. And you ask the Holy Spirit, who do you want me to invite? I mean, you know you don't have to ask the Holy Spirit if the gospel will work, don't you? So you just need to ask, who do you want me to invite? And invite away, invite people. If you've been challenged over the months about, I should be witnessing to my neighbours more, then we encourage you to do that. Give them leaflets, knock on the door, tell people at work, invite people in your family. The absolute worst that will happen is they'll say no. That's it, isn't it? That's it. They might say no. But I encourage you to invite people onto Alpha course. I've been on Alphas where everybody that's done the course has got saved. Every single person on the course gets saved. That's amazing to see. In prisons, 20 lads on an Alpha course all stand up on the Holy Spirit Day and invite the Holy Spirit to come into their lives. Alpha really works. Alpha means the beginning. It's one of Jesus' names, and it's the beginning. It's the best place to start an Alpha. It's basic. But it's awesome because it's all about Jesus. When the gospel is preached in Alpha, it works. And the best thing about Alpha is it's British. No, that was the good. But it works. And I want to encourage you to pray about who to invite on Alpha. And I want to challenge you as well. if you're the sort of person that doesn't usually invite people, I want to really challenge you and say, look, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit who you should invite and invite someone to come on this Alpha course. Let's make this the biggest Alpha course we've ever run. Let it be awesome. Let it be absolutely brilliant. So that when we have baptisms at Easter, we have a ton of baptisms. That'd be awesome. Paulus Maximus.
Exciting, eh? Happy new belly, by the way. But, you know, driving in this morning, I drive past Omal's prison every day, near enough. But today, driving in, it just caught my attention again. And just sat here, actually, God just wanted me to... You know, I was sat in that prison 15 years ago. And I got saved in that prison because basically I was all over the place. And then Graham C came in, told his story. Him telling that story got me encountered in this Why Jesus course. I got saved. But a few years after I got out, I kind of saw the connections that God had made to get me saved. A long time ago, a guy called David Wilkerson, who was just in a little village somewhere, felt God tell him to just get rid of his telly and pray for 2 hours a night. He eventually did as he was told. In doing that, he saw a magazine, saw all these gangs in New York and went there. Started preaching the gospel. Starts preaching the gospel in New York. All these gangs get saved. He starts Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge comes over to England. A guy called Paddy Hamilton and Patrick Hamilton down here start it. And this whole ministry thing with Peter Comer and all these different people from different churches ends up going on the streets and witnessing to Graham when he was a tramp and all that, living on the streets. Graham was in a coma. They go and pray for him. Miraculously, he's brought back from the dead, from that coma, you know, just like we believe Karen's going to be. And then a couple of years after that, working with Martin, working with Stu, working with other people, he gets called into the prison. And in that prison, I walk in. This lad who was just lost and ended up getting saved, and I'm stood before you today, who I am, because of the gospel and because of the importance of the gospel. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, I had a thought the other week. The synagogues in the New Testament were built for Jews. They'd all congregate there. Paul would go there, preaching them. And often these days, the churches are for Christians. A lot of Christians will come. And we can build churches, and it attracts people. But often we think, well, just get the people who are really broken by the world, and they'll come in. But you know, the church is what it is. It's a massive machine to change this nation. It's a phenomenal gift from God, the church. But the truth is, we need to go out. We need to go and take this truth out. You know, the reality of the enemy is, and that scripture Andy mentioned, was about, you know, freedom and life in all its fullness. It's just John 10:10. The devil comes to steal and kill and lie and destroy. And that's what he does. And so that's why we're going to take that gospel out. We're going to go back to our roots where we all started. Me, Martin, Ian, Stuart, all of us. We started preaching the gospel, going out. And that's what we're going to do. So each month, every month, we're going to start what's called the Amazing Grace Gospel Roadshow. Initially just going around Teesside. We're going to go to different places each month. The first one starts in February. It's February the 20th. It's going to be in Thornaby. So there's people in here who are going to be buzzing with that. We're going to go. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to have cat leading worship, singing. There's going to be praying for the sick, deliverance. I've got it on my heart to go out dropping leaflets the week before in all the doors, all around the places we're going to be, talking to people, encountering people. This is going to be a massive thing, a massive push to get people helping to grow this church, but also bringing a light and deliverance and all the things into the estates around us. And if you want to be a part of it, then, you know, we'd love you to be. There's going to be, you know, guys doing it. But if you've got a hunger and desire to do it, then it's awesome. Part of A61 as well is going to funnel into this stuff. You've got a gift for it. Then you know there's going to be an opportunity for you to go. But guys, these are going to be really, really, really powerful encounters. I honestly believe that God's called us and raised us up at this time, sent us to Reinhard Bonnke to receive this mantle of the gospel to bring change to this nation. I honestly believe we'll pray for cerebral palsy and Down syndrome and all these other things that are unchangeable, and we're going to see miracles happen, salvations happen. These things are going to grow and grow and grow. Charles Wesley, he changed single-handedly this nation, saved it from the gin houses and all that stuff by going around preaching the gospel. Now this base is probably one of the best church bases around, to be quite frank. But you know what? We need it out there too, and that's what we're going to start doing. So, you know, please pray about it. If you want to join us, come and see me and speak to me. On another note, regarding Route 61 sign-up, if you just see Keena at the end, if you want to sign up for that, then please see Keena, not Esther, okay? And on that note, missionaries and going out and doing all the things that we're called to do, I just want to say this year is going to be about surrender. Often to go, it means you let go of something else. And when we welcome in Ruth now, which I want to do, Ruth, so if you just come up. You know, this young girl, I always remember my wife going to an Alpha course at Martin's house and saying Ruth was there, always complimenting her, always finding something encouraging. Love your shoes, love you this. But her whole life, it's true, her whole life has been one of surrendering, letting go of the West, letting go of the comforts, letting go of the things of God, to go and serve and do what God's called her to do. She's a phenomenal, wonderful woman of God. And we want to honor her for that. She's anointed. She's got a word of the Lord for us. And so we're going to receive her now. Receive her as our sister. Receive her in love. And at the end of this talk, at the end of what she's going to bring, we're going to take an offering today. And I'm sorry to spring this on you, but it's the way it is. We're going to take up an offering for what Andrew and Ruth are doing in the Philippines, okay? So please have your hearts, your minds, your wallets, your purses, and everything opened, okay? So should we give Ruth a massive welcome?
Happy New Year! Bless you. It's lovely to be here this morning. We leave tomorrow for the Philippines. So we're packing. It's crazy, packing for six. But we're really excited to go back tomorrow. And so I won't be long. I'll just be very short. I've just got a little word for the church for you all to this morning. And isn't it amazing how when it's a new year, you're like excited about what's going to come, but you also look back at what happened. It's actually a spiritual thing that, you know, and it happens all the way through the Bible. It's got a posh word. It's called eschatology, but it actually means what's happened and what's going to happen. And it happens in baptism and communion. And my word today is a little bit about that, about things that have happened and things that are going to happen. And all the vision you've heard this morning is about things that are going to happen this year. And the only way you can do that is what's already happened in your heart with God. Okay? So if you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. When I came in August, I got up and I had a word for the church, which was, what is the fruit that you are bearing? What fruit are you bearing? Is it good fruit or bad fruit? Do you remember? Well, today as I leave, my message today is how you can get fruit to grow. So it's all right asking, what fruit are you bearing? But if you go back to how you get that fruit there, then you've got a better chance of bearing a lot more good fruit, right? Okay, so 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 8. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So I'm just going to break up each scripture this morning and give you some revelation about giving so that you can be blessed, okay? Are you excited? So verse 6 there, it says, I love that. This is the English Standard Version. The point is this. The New Living says, remember this. But the point is this. Whoever sows a little will reap a little. But whoever sows a lot will reap a lot. So this is actually talking about finance here. Paul is talking about giving. But it's the truth in everything in your life. Whatever you sow, you can only reap what you've sown. If you only sow a little, you can only reap a little. If you sow a lot, you reap a lot. I'm sure you've experienced that in friendships, in marriage, in jobs. However much you put in, you get out. But supernaturally, you actually get more out, because when you've sown a seed, it produces a lot more fruit than just one seed. Okay? So however much you sow, that's how much you get out. When I was 5 years old, my mum and dad sponsored quite a few different children from around the world. And they had pictures of them. And my mum and dad asked me to start to write to one of them and encouraged me to start to write to one of these children that we supported. And so I chose this little boy called Paolo. And he was about 9 years old, and he was from the north of the Philippines, right? And so he would write to my mum and dad in Tagalog, which is the language there. And someone in Tear Fund would translate it into English. And then it would come to my mum and dad's house and we would read it. And there would be little pictures of Filipino items from the house and things like that. And then I would write my letter in English. It would go back to Tear Fund. They would translate it to Tagalog. And then it would go to Paolo in the Philippines. Now, isn't that amazing? I soared with my mum and dad when I was 5 into the north of the Philippines by them sending their money and me writing my little letter to Paolo and blessing him that we were sowing into the Philippines. And now I'm a missionary there in the north of the Philippines and we're reaping a harvest. It's amazing. The gospel is so like received in the Philippines. They're so ready to hear the gospel. And so it's so exciting that how what the things you can do as little children affect your life later. You can sow as a child of 5 and reap as an adult. And I want to encourage you. I'm really moved about this. It's really powerful to encourage you to teach your children how to sow. I feel really moved about that. That as parents, you need to teach your children how to sow so that when they're older, they can reap. I want to honor my mum and dad for that because they sowed. And it seems such a trivial thing to support a child in a foreign nation. You might never meet them. They might mean nothing to you, really. And you're just blessing them because it's a very good and nice and Christian thing to do. But because they did that, they've made a way. It's really true. We'll never know how big the way is, but they've knocked some walls down. So what you've sown in the past, you can reap later. It's a powerful thing. I want to encourage you. Teach your children how to sow. So that they can harvest later. Okay? Involve them in your sowing. And for some of you, that'll mean you have to start to sow. So, verse 7, it says, each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's interesting here, it says, each one must give, English Standard Version. The New Living Translation says, you must each decide. It doesn't say some should give. It says you should each give, each must give. And it says that you have to decide in your heart how much to give. And then do it. And that will give you a cheerful heart. It's pretty clear instructions, isn't it? Each must decide in your heart. It's like asking the Holy Spirit, how much should I give? How much should I give here? And the Holy Spirit instructing you on how much to give in your heart, you deciding on that, and then doing it. And from that, your heart is cheerful. Why? Because you've obeyed God. Because you've obeyed God in your heart, you've known what he's told you to do, and you've done it. And you will have a cheerful heart because you've obeyed him. It says, not reluctantly. Reluctantly, it's like with hesitation or dread. It's like, I guess, how you would pay your tax bill. No one wants to pay a tax bill. They're reluctant. You're reluctant to pay your tax bill. It's like with dread and, oh, that tax bill's going to come. He doesn't want you to give like that. Or under compulsion, which is interesting because that talks about being under compulsion. It's like emotionally pulled. Like when you see something that's made you upset, so you just give to it. Sometimes when you do that, you think, what have I got with me? I'll just give that. But if you actually ask God, he might have something different for you to give or a different way to do it. So that's interesting, isn't it? Because lots of places that ask us to give want us to give under emotions so that we'll like donate as much or like empty our pockets. But actually, the Bible doesn't say that. It says, don't give like that. It says to decide in your heart how much to give and do that. Is that interesting? I think a lot of us feel like emotionally pulled to things when we have to give, but we're not to do that. Okay? I remember when I was in the Philippines, when I first went, and our pastor, him and his family, they have 9 children, and they lived in this rice shed at the time. No electricity. It was horrendous. It was awful. And they had just one big room that they all slept in. And We went shopping one day, me and Andrew, and I decided, felt in my heart, we should fill our trolley and take it to their house. So we filled our trolley with food and drinks and things that a family of 9 children and 2 parents would like, because I know. So we filled this trolley and we went to their house and we gave them this food and they were, thank you, and they were blessed. But when I look back on that story now, I actually know that in giving that food, it was about my heart. And this is what giving's about. When you sow, it's actually about your heart. Because when I gave that food, God had told me in my heart to do it, and I did it. And if I didn't give that food, Pastor Raoul and his family would have still survived. God would have still kept them alive. They would still have food. And I know now, because I've lived in the Philippines almost 5 years, that if I'd have given them the money and that they'd have gone and bought food from the market, it would have been cheaper. They could have got more for their money. But because I was in a supermarket, and I filled a trolley, the cost was higher because of the air conditioning. But it wasn't about what they got. It was about my heart. And that's what giving's about. That's why it says, when you've decided in your heart what to give, do it, and you'll have a cheerful heart because it's about your heart. And the more that you sow, the more that you reap, and your heart learns to sow, you grow in sowing, you mature in sowing. And you actually learn, and your heart learns, how to hear God more clearly in sowing in different areas. And your harvest becomes greater. It's like Estonia. God told my dad, invest in this family. You all know that story, don't you? God told my dad, invest in the Alikas family in Estonia. So my dad decided in his heart to do it. And he did it. And he paid for tickets, and they went and visited, and they ministered in their churches. And now their family came here to visit, and they go there, and dad ministers there. But it's not just dad, is it? He's the one God told to start sowing. But look at the harvest. You've got anointed worship leaders, anointed preachers, amazing families, amazing connections. You've got marriages. Families are growing. You're going back again, you're going to see harvest from it. And the more you sow into it, the bigger the harvest is going to be. That's like a personal church story of how you can see how it works. And so just God telling dad to sow that has affected all of you, hasn't it? And it's going to affect all of Estonia, potentially. Because the more you sow, the more you'll harvest. Is that exciting? And I know that the people who've married to Estonians are blessed today. I know Becca's excited about that. So that's so exciting, I think. And so then verse 8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So it says, first it uses that word abound, and that means plentiful or thrive. God is able to make all grace abound to you. So he's going to pour grace on you. But it's like a process here when you read this scripture in verse 8. If you break it down, and it says sufficiency. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency. And sufficiency in a different translation says all contentment in all things at all times. Do you have all contentment in all things at all times? In your marriage, in your family life, in your job, in your church, contentment all the time. Wow, that's a big thing, isn't it? You see, Satan's lie is that we're not content because we need more stuff. Right? But God's truth is we're not content because we don't give enough. If you follow this scripture through, you'll see that it says that once you've decided in your heart with the Holy Spirit how much you're going to give and you do it, then he's going to pour grace on you and bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, you'll have everything you'll need and you'll be content. Can you see that? So we're not content. Why? Because we don't give enough. Why don't we give enough? Because we love money. Why do we love money? Because money, it's a false god. And the Bible says you cannot serve both God and money. Can you see it? It's very clear in the scripture, isn't it, when you break it down. And it says that when you've got all contentment, all sufficiency, in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. So when you have all contentment, you can do all your good works to the maximum potential. They can be fulfilled how God wants them to be done. Exactly, when you've got contentment. So when you don't have full contentment, your good works are not actually up to scratch. They could be better than they are. Can you see that? So when you've decided in your heart how much to give, and you do that, and your heart is cheerful, you've obeyed God, then he's going to bless you with everything you need, whenever you need it, in every area of your life. And everything you do for God is going to be maxed out and blessed. Is that exciting? Yeah. I think that's exciting. You see, money has to be nothing to you. You have to shake it off so that you can be free from it, so that you can freely give. Do you understand that? And then you can be content, because when you sow, you'll reap. It'll come back to you in awesome worship leaders, in awesome preachers, in awesome marriages, in amazing connections abroad, in ways you won't even imagine. Me writing that little letter as a 5-year-old girl, I didn't know I was going to be a missionary in the Philippines. I wanted to be a missionary in China. So that's to encourage you about the realities of when you give, when you sow, the blessing that is heading your way in the harvest. And I really believe that this year is going to be a year of harvest. For lots of things that have been sown, especially for this church, things that have been sown into for a long time, there's going to be a big harvest this year of things like that. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity today to sow into our ministry. In June, we're coming back to England. We're coming back to England for 1 month for Rebecca's wedding. We're bringing a team of Filipinos to do a freedom tour in England. And so you can see on this picture, that's 4 of them. We're bringing 5 by faith. So you know that Arvin, Russell and Ruby are in Bible school right now. They finish in March. And so when we go back, we're going to get their passports and visas and tickets, but we need the money to do it. And we have the faith, and I know that it's God. And I know that they're going to be so excited to come here, because you know that our vision in the Philippines is to raise up missionaries. And that's what these guys are. And so we're going to give them an experience of mission in England in June. And so we have at the back some boards and some sheets, each with their picture on, so you can decide which one you're going to sow into today. There's Arvin, Ruby and Russell, the 3 Bible school students. Their pictures are at the back. Then there's Mary Joy, who's a qualified teacher this year, and she wants to be a missionary. And then there's Janelle, who lives with us. And he too wants to be a missionary. And so Janelle's ticket is already bought, praise God. So we've got another 4 to go. And so we're so excited about this, and we know that it's God's will. And so I would encourage you to go to the back and sign up. But first of all, you need to ask God in your heart what you should do. Don't act under compulsion or reluctantly, because that's not how God wants you to give. He wants you to ask the Holy Spirit and decide in your heart what you should give. And then obey God, and you'll have all contentment, and your good works will be blessed to the maximum. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you.
We're gonna pray for Andrew and Ruth in a minute, but just before we do that, let me tell you about another little sewing story. In 1978, before I was born, My mum left us for about 6 weeks, and she went and lived in Nottingham cooking for a Filipino choir that came over and did like a tour of the United Kingdom, and they were based in Nottingham with my mum's friend called Doreen. And for 6 weeks, my dad was out of work at the time, so my mum went and cooked for these Filipinos. There was about 30 of them for 6 weeks. And halfway through, my dad took us to Nottingham to see these people, just to meet them, really. So these two kids, myself and my sister, were just like, we don't understand, really, but we're meeting these Filipinos and, you know, my mum's not there and it's their fault and all that kind of stuff. And then after those 6 weeks, my mum comes back and they get on with their lives. Last year, Margaret and Santa and a team of ladies go out to the Philippines and they meet this woman who says, I was in England in the 70s and I stayed with a couple called Margaret and Malcolm Duffy, my mum and dad. I mean, how awesome is that? It's incredible, isn't it? You just don't know what you're sowing into, do you? So before we take up an offering, we're just going to put up a moving montage of Andrew and Ruth's kids. A bit like World Wildlife Fund, there's a polar bear coming any moment now. No. Oh, we are! Oh, we are! Just come and... I didn't know this bit, but there's a bit more to that story about my mum and dad. My mum cooking for those Filipinos.
When that team arrived, my wife and I were actually second-generation missionaries out in the Philippines. My mum and dad were missionaries out there. And my dad got the calling to be a missionary to the Philippines from listening to that choir come to England. So do you see that the seeds that are sown, how far the harvest goes? It's still reaping a harvest years and years later. Do you see the little amount that you put in, how far God can take it? Is that awesome? So we're missionaries out there, even from that choir coming years ago. So that's why if God has spoken to you about supporting one of these, one of the team coming to England, you don't know what the harvest is going to be. You have to leave that with God. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Thank you.
Is Dad's a missionary because my mum can cook steak and kidney pie? So here's what we want to do. Okay, let's get Andrew and Ruth up. All right, because you fly tomorrow, don't you? And here's what I'd like to do. I want to call on those of you who are missionary-minded. So for some of you, that resonates with you because you want to be one. And for some of you, it's that you're just an evangelist now. You can't help but tell people. And so for those people that are like that, I want you to come and pray. So those of you that are missionary-minded, those of you that are going to join Paul and go out on the streets of Teesside and preach the news, I want you to come forward. Those of you that have a... Come on up. You're going to do this. All right. We want a church full of evangelists, right? We want to be a sending church. Well, why don't we start with these two? Okay? And Tom, why don't you pray?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these beautiful people of God, this beautiful family of God. Thank you, Lord, for their heart to see people saved, to see people delivered, to see people healed in your name, Jesus. Thank you for all the sowing they've done in their lives. Thank you that they've given up so much for you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that as we're praying now, we would be sending them in your name, Jesus, to reap a new harvest that's been bigger than the harvest they've seen already. I had a dream last night, and in that dream, I had a picture of a vine and some branches growing off it, and these were new branches. And when I woke up, I remembered the last time that these guys had come and spoke to us. And Ruth had talked about the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. I pray, Lord, that you would bless these branches of yours. I pray that new, fresh, beautiful branches would grow through this ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. Amen.
So we're going to take up an offering for them now, all right? And just to remind you, don't if you moved, that's fine, but don't give because you moved. Give because you feel called by the Holy Spirit to give. And if you don't feel called, that's fine as well. So if the worship band want to make their way up, we're gonna clear the stage now and let the worship band back up.